Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Love, joy, and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elegoon Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it's all just an illusion, a test, a challenge, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work, my demonstration, that which I do at the crossroads along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe, ashe, oh, ashe. Today is August 25th, Friday, August 25th, 2017, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you, live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the house of the Divine Prince, Chai Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, and some would say the most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors, and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, root plants, rituals, spirits, minerals. We are humbled and honored in the presence of God, in the presence of nature today, in the presence of our ancestors, Ashe. I am always thrilled at high noon when I have people waiting for me on the phone lines, when I have people present at my URL to be a part of this squared circle of gods and goddesses for the power lunch at high noon, the power lunch voodoo, New Orleans voodoo secret can recipe. My website is www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. And my live listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967. 347 is the area code, 215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to bring you into this conversation. Be mindful that we do not do live personal readings here on the show. If you indeed seek a reading or consultation, you can connect with me by direct email at divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. You can visit my website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-documented power manifestation here at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Excuse me. All is indeed a blessing. Eshu Alekwana Kosi Wari Awo Nauso Ni Iwo Ada Afanbo Osi Obasalami Itani Ibo Omilio Obaneshu. Eshu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one verse in mysteries uses truth to own you. He causes scattered to be poverty. Obasala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warning is the one who is Eshu. Aboro aboye aboshiche ashe. May I ever reach a room. May I ever be accepted. May I ever allow what we desire to come past. We all say ashe, ashe, oh, ashe. Today, as with all days, but probably more so than any other day, in this moment, because for indeed it is only in this divine moment in time space that it's real, that it exists, that it's relevant. Yesterday is the past. It is now a part of our memory. It is now a part of our collective and individual consciousness. The future has not happened. It is only a preconceived notion, a vision, a dream, an imagery of how we perceive the coming days. So all we truly have is right now, right here, right today, in this divine moment in time space. Spiritual knowledge and power lies in its efficacy, its ability to produce and manifest powerful, reliable, tangible, lasting manifestation and results right here and right now in this time space. All else is vanity. All else is ego. All else is an illusion. All else is a waste of my time and your time. Today I want to talk about leadership 911. Leadership 911. 911 is that Western pop cultural symbolism of emergency, urgency. I realize that some of my international listeners, you don't have 911 in your country. Here in the U.S., when you want the police, when you want the paramedics, when you want the ambulance, when you need assistance, when you call for that systematic governmental backup that our tax money pays for, we dial 911. So sometimes in a discussion, in a pop cultural context, we use 911 to stress urgency, stress the need for immediate rescue, immediate assistance, immediate clarity about the event or events that force the calling of 911. We want to talk about the urgency of leadership, and we're still on target. We're still within revolutionary hoodoo secrets and recipes. I want to talk about the mechanics of revolution as we talk about leadership. This cultural, this society has their roadmap to leadership. We educate in their system. We grow up and we develop eating the provided sustenance. We then gain credibility, approval, among many other words, through documentation that you completed this program, that you completed this training, that you've been given the proper tools to then go into the workforce, to then go into a career, an industry, to provide a service to the community, to the people. There is also leadership as we look at it from an indigenous perspective. This includes our various spiritual systems. It's very difficult to separate those systems from our cultural experience, our cultural demonstration, if you will, about what leadership is. Here in America, we have our great CEOs and our doctorates and our PhDs of education who control education, those who control health care, those who control government. But we don't have an organized, structured sense of leadership, not outright anyway, as it relates to values, morality, integrity. For some reason in this culture, the individual is left to sort of figure that out on their own through experience. And for many of us, and when I say us right now, I'm talking about the Africans existing in America, living in America, born into this system. We've seen leadership from many perspectives that leave a negative taste in your mouth, that taint how we then identify and operate within leadership moving forward. And 504, I see your hand raised. Give me like 30 seconds and I'm gonna open your mic. I gotta get this platform laid, okay? We acknowledge leadership based on creed, socialization. They were raised in a certain environment, raised in a privileged environment, in a privileged society. Those who manage to make it to a higher education and get a degree, we add just a little bit more to that and we join a sorority or we join a fraternity. Some of you have found other ways of gaining credibility in terms of accessing leadership through the system. But then we also have, again, the grassroots level leadership. And often at the grassroots level of leadership, and let me be clear, here in our community, in the Black community, we don't always respect education. We don't always respect titles. We don't always respect automatically the leadership that's given, that's appointed through the system. And so sometimes we gain leadership, especially here in New Orleans, and I feel uniquely qualified to address geography. Many of you know I left home at 14. I was forced to leave home at 14. I've lived all over the country. I've lived all over the continental USA. I've been everywhere except Alaska. Well, I've been to Alaska, but not very much beyond the Canadian border. I've never been to Hawaii. Well, Pawnee has, but I have not. But in terms of living, and when I say living, I mean 90 days or more in a place is living. Finding a lease, having a source of employment, that's living. So, excuse me, y'all, I'm still a little bit hoarse from Saturday's protest. So I've lived all over the continental U.S., so I feel uniquely qualified to address vibrations as they relate to geographical locations. My readers out there, my psychic, my empath, my spiritualist know what I'm talking about. People, places, and things carry an energy. It is at the root of what animism is. They carry an energy. So like individuals have character and characteristics and things that make us distinct and unique, so do cities, towns, locations carry a vibe, a vibration. So I feel uniquely qualified to say, when it comes to leadership, New Orleans is unique in how we choose leadership, identify leadership, and in terms of how much vetting we put into leadership. Again, there are those who are in degreed leadership, employment leadership. You know, they've been employed in high positions, and thus we acknowledge them and respect them for their leadership. And then there are those at the grassroots level who we've given leadership, titles of leadership, positions of leadership, because of their commitment, their loyalty, their amount of sacrifice. But we would also like to think integrity, morality, a sense of value. Now, let me keep my promise. I'm already over my 30 seconds. 504, who's online with me? Local New Orleans.
Hi, Todd. This is Latoya. Can you hear me?
Some blessings. Thank you. Yeah, I can hear you really good. Thanks for calling in today.
So I was just calling the idea of leadership. I think that often we for some generations, I think older generations and elders have a bit more, they look at it more discerningly and kind of with a fine-tooth comb who they decide are their leaders or who they accept to guide them and direct them into certain things, especially when it comes to racial topics or political topics. They don't just flock to anyone. But for younger generations, I know that they are very quick to be self-proclaimed leaders and self-proclaimed activists because we show up at, you know, a march or we take a public stance on something. We feel like we are leading the pack. We are, you know, originating it. But there's a huge disconnect because we see so often leaders that actually aren't true or leaders that aren't really leading you to anything positive or leaders that are putting one thing face forward, but behind closed doors, you know, just like politicians who may speak out against, you know, gay rights and things like that, but then they're actually the ones that in their homes or, you know, in the privacy of themselves, they are attracted to men or they're attracted to women. So things like that have a lot to do with that breakdown and acceptance of leadership because there's really no trust that people are being true about who they are and that they're standing up and facing forward about what their intentions are, what kind of lifestyles they live, and if their lifestyles are matching what they're trying to direct the people to do.
You know what? I agree 100% with every word of what you just said. The only thing I would add to that, as I always do, is the influence of social media and pop culture. We live in a time really post Wendy Williams and Jerry Springer, the sense of outing in a public sense. Steve Wilkos, you know, I'm embarrassed to admit, I love Steve Wilkos. I like the lie detector. I like the DNA test, you know, and it's the sense of outing of information. We see that in the news. We see that in the public media spectrum. I remember a time maybe in the last 10 years when there was a Black consciousness outing that was happening, you know, sort of live and on tape, where people were, you know, infiltrating these groups, these organizations, these events, and then they would often turn into sort of this confrontation of egos, more so than a real confrontation of the things that really matter. And that's really holding accountability and responsibility as it relates to leadership. We all have an obligation to leadership, every last one of us. I don't care where you are in the link within the community chain. We all have a responsibility to take leadership first in our own demonstration. Like Priest said, you know, being true to what you say and what you say being true. And we now live in a time where everybody's got a camera. You know, I was literally asked, why didn't I film what happened last night at NOA? And I was too much in my emotion. I was too much in my emotions. I was too organic in the moment to think in terms of, oh, wow, I could be putting this, you know. I applaud the sister who unfortunately had to film her man being killed by the police. I cannot even imagine the discipline and the thought process that had to kick in that moment for her to do that, to hit, you know, record and to do that. It was the furthest thing from my mind when that brother was cussing me out and calling me all out of my name and saying the most vulgar thing, you know. And if you don't already know, NOA, you know, is our local New Orleans cable community channel. Fox News, Fox 8 is also housed in that same property. You know, so we're talking about something that is an earshot of many people. And, you know, maybe folks were in shock. I don't know. But those who were immediately in the room, no one moved. You know, it was like we went into slow motion. And I knew at that moment, I had to remove myself because that's not organic to who I am. What's organic to me is to fight. What's organic to me is to respond.
I know that's right.
What's organic to me is to never take abuse from anybody, and especially in that sort of display. You know, I had women that would not have been able to handle that as peacefully as I did. I know young people who just can't even fathom not responding in an aggressive way. And I'm human. I wanted to. I was prepared to, but it wouldn't have been the right thing to do. Go ahead.
I always said, you know, you see these videos, just like you were saying that people asked you, why didn't you record? You know, we see these videos of people recording altercations, especially racial or aggressive altercations in public, where no one is standing up or stepping in and saying, hey, cut it out, you know, helping, aiding or whatever. Everyone's just recording. I always give thanks that I have never been put in that situation, because the tenacity of the person that's receiving that kind of abuse to be so docile in those moments. I don't know if that's a power or not, but I'm not sure that I quite have it, because my organic nature is to lash out. And I don't generally lash out with my words, because you're not going to hear what I'm saying anyway. I would lash out and cut up in that place. So for you to have the clear mind to not take that stance and make yourself, you know, down to his level in order to argue with him or fight with him, to leave is a powerful thing, to actually not stand there and accept it, not stay in that place, not go on that show. All of those things were speaking of your character and your abilities, when often people just stay in those situations and either record or accept the abuse and then trash talk about their abuser later, which doesn't really speak to your strength or your ability.
That's right. And here's the problem. I don't want to lose my point before my live listeners drop off at 12:30. Because this is more than just about me. That's why I titled this show Leadership 911. Our community is in urgent, desperate need of leadership from within and from without. We need to be more accountable. And as I just said before, we all are operating in leadership, every last one of us. You don't have to have a title. You don't have a position. If you're part of the group, if you're a part of the community, if it affects you and your household and your children and your family, then you have a responsibility to leadership. Right now, we're being asked to monitor our own drains, to make sure that we don't flood out during this weather event. We can sit back and say, oh, well, that's the city's responsibility, you know. But when the water starts coming into your house, you know, then what? We've got to hold these people who are standing as leaders in our community accountable, particularly at the level who know that these people exist in our community. Bullying still exists in our community because they got a daddy or a role model like this guy. We still have oppression in our community because we don't step up in a critical moment and take responsibility, accountability, what's happening to us, but also what's happening around us. Now, had I had that, and he had done that to someone else, I probably would not have been able to avoid getting involved. If it had been done to another person, male or female, I would have gotten involved, hands down. But I had to take control. I had to be clear in the moment about where I was, okay, and what was happening. And I still hold a greater degree of responsibility to Donatus King for having not let me know that he was coming. He clearly knew that I was going to be there, but he didn't let me know that he was going to be there. So we've got to hold accountable our leaders. We've got to check our leaders on integrity. Did you have anything else you want to say, beloved, before I lose my time here?
No, that's about it. I do say you mentioned the water. The studio is going to be open. Our neighborhood is not really flooded. We're in Uptown. So the studio is open and the neighborhood is safe for anyone to park or if you want to come to be safe in the rain or to kind of be in safe space and around others. I know that flooding potentials are triggering for New Orleans families. So if you need some place to be that you know is safe, that'll be welcoming, that'll be, you know, energetically sound, please feel free to go online, underthewaningmoon.com, get the studio address, come by. Want everyone to be safe and be comfortable while we endure what may come from this storm.
We certainly appreciate you, and we certainly appreciate you being available. All is a blessing.
Congo Square. The Olmos Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Olmos Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Olmos Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Le Place de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat. Heart, beat. Heart, be at this place. At this place, be heart, beat, be we beating place in new world space. beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with out of us. Whoa! But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade. But dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades. Eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Be. 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 Remember. Remember.